King David prays in the gradual psalm today. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth, let all flesh bless his holy name. And St. Luke takes up the refrain, citing Isaiah the prophet, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. There's a kind of an air of holy universalism about this fourth Sunday of Advent. After all, universal means Catholic. To all that call upon him, our Lord is nigh. All flesh must bless his holy name and shall see the salvation of God. All flesh must somehow catch some glimpse of God. Not just good Catholics in the right church on a Sunday at a good holy mass. No, God is always entering this messy world of ours, and we must never lose our capacity for delight and surprise when we recognize him in what they call the real world. I mean the workplace and the playing field and the family room and sports radio and the Monday morning discussions and all of the rest. He uses anyone who is willing to be used, and he is himself willing to be used. He who is not against me is for me, and he who comes to me I will not cast out. God's grace is still showing up where and when you'd least expect, even in the final minutes of the last quarter of a game or of a life, so that those who have heard nothing, so that those who have nothing might have, St. Paul says, some beginning in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, how about them Broncos? I always wanted to say that from the pulpit some Sunday. Oh, I grant you, I don't know very much about football. But last Sunday, reading the paper, my eyes fell upon an intriguing headline, which I liked, Tim Tebow's Gospel of Optimism. So I read a little bit of the article, but soon enough I was lost. The author wrote, he completes fewer than half his passes. And I'm thinking to myself, what does that mean? Well, I just scanned the article and then went on. But the next day, that name came up. I suspect it's really a French name from a Catholic background. Probably the spelling got changed. The name came up in the news, and I went back, and I read that article over thoroughly, and then a few others, too. And I was intrigued at this Protestant professional football player who refuses to make prayer in public something to be ashamed of. And his genuflections, they call them Tebowing, but straight back, kneels up straight, very respectful. In his graceful way of giving credit to our Lord and to his teammates, let all flesh bless his holy name, and his generous qualities of leadership that are evident by those who write about him. I mean the way of encouraging others and of praising them. Still, as we saw some years ago, I think it was a Super Bowl Sunday, the classic Catholic doctrine down throughout the centuries was that sports are strife to no purpose. The bloody crosstown shootout more than proves my point. Ah, those Novus Ordo Jesuits and their basketball team fighting against the University of Cincinnati, blood everywhere. When such a headline comes up, Father Chicada's terse comment always is, sports builds character. Well, remember that organized sports died out with paganism and were not revived until the 19th century, during the era of the revolutions, by well-meaning Protestants at the upper-class private schools in England, which educate the ruling elite of that sceptered isle still today, and in this country by the YMCA, which Catholics were always forbidden to join. The goals were certainly good. I mean, healthy recreation and wholesome activity for young people and the kind of a training in discipline and in virtue. Pius XII must have thought that way. He had a lot to say about professional sports. He held out great hope for their ideals and was himself a big fan of the Harlem Globetrotters. But that's more sports as entertainment, isn't it? And that's another thing. They really were meant to build character. But do they anymore? The larger it gets, as sports along with everything else becomes supersized in our society, I think the best you can say is that sports builds characters. Selfishness and greed and stupidity stand out at only the top of this list. And here are your gods, O Israel. Indeed, modern commercial sport is its own religion. It has its temples and its priesthood. It has its penances and its sacred observances, its rubrics, its rites and language, its own priesthood and faithful, and it is universal. A Jewish young man who was a commentator for the Wall Street Journal, Ben Cohen, pointed out something quite true. A football team is as close to a universal religion as any city can have today. That's spooky. This new universal religion replaces the old Catholic one. For some, in any competition between Sunday church and family and a game, well, who do you think wins? We compromise at best, and we participate in this Sabbath-busting system. And who always loses? The child, exposed to worldliness and worse, a very world of hurt and scandal for the soul, for the body, too. The headlines tell the tale. I would blush to. Really, is it worth it? I mean, the tremendous sacrifices this universal religion demands and receives without any question from everyone. Now, this, I think, is where Thibaut comes in, Samson-like in his strength. He goes into the temple of the Philistines, Dagon, the fish god. He's supposed to play along. They think he will, but instead, he brings down the roof in the name of the God of hosts, because his gospel is not win, win, win. And he may very possibly be sincere when he says that football is not really all that important to him, but his faith is. I see him almost as a kind of an infiltrator, a sort of an agent provocateur, the French would say, in the enemy camp, a bit of a Saint Sebastian type. You know, Saint Sebastian is the patron saint of athletes. Our young people should pray to him. By his bravery and skill, this soldier won a place for himself in the pagan emperor's Praetorian Guard, and right there in the palace of Diocletian, the church's greatest persecutor, 3rd century. Right under his nose, he makes converts, and he encourages Christians. Now, Thibaut comes across this unlikely Daniel in the lion's den of professional football. He comes across a bit this way. It's not just competition for him, but cooperation and compassion, which are Christian virtues, right along with praying to God and praising him, even in public, and encouraging his teammates who mess up, and then he himself makes his full share of errors too, and there's something encouraging about that. But almost always, the good Lord seems to step in and deliver him. And he even goes so far as to excuse, this is extraordinary, some players who are mocking him, Thibaut-ing after a touchdown themselves, saying, well, they were just having fun. This kind of an example is invaluable in any age. I suppose he's a bit of a John the Baptist type. Well, literally, he is a Baptist. That's another story. But drawing others to himself and to God, but what seems to be a true and a strong love for our Lord. This non-Catholic reproaches us, even as he inspires us. Look, he manages with only natural virtue and actual grace and that vague kind of a personal Protestant faith full of erroneous, heretical concepts like personal savior. But armed with this, he unseats naturalism in its very temple. Imagine what we could, what we should be doing. We have the true faith, and sanctifying grace awaits the confessional, the communion rail, the sacrifice of the altar, our Blessed Mother. We have all of these things which he has not. What do we have to show for it? At least, let's work on our genuflections, call them Thibaut-ing, if you will, with the children, but let's do them reverently, and let's start giving God the glory in public instead of the silent treatment as though we were ashamed of him. And when someone fumbles the ball, instead of scowling or swearing, how about a smile and an encouraging word? Now, I'm sure I'm in overtime by now, but it is indeed the ending that matters. This has made this boy's fame. I mean, the last minutes of the game. Do you think that he would win in the final quarter, Sunday after Sunday, if he had been a loser all the way? Well, anybody could see that. And that's the point. All flesh shall see. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.